Kay Adlington, who's Becky's mum, who's chosen a couple of topics for us to look at. A little bit later on, before 9 o'clock, we're going to be looking at the impact that sport can have in young people's lives, which is one of the topics that she's particularly passionate about. But one of the things that really annoys her is the amount of packaging there is on some products when you buy them. And if you've just had quite a busy Christmas in your household, you've probably got your own instance, your own example here of some of the things that can be really, really overpackaged. So is there a way of reducing it? Is there a way of cutting down on the packaging without that actually ending up with everyone having damaged products, which is something that nobody actually wants? Well, Martin Hardwich is from East Midlands Packaging Association, and he's here at BBC Radio Nottingham now. Hello, Martin.
Good morning.
So that's the key thing, isn't it? That, you know, the retailers and us as consumers, we don't want to buy something and find it's broken, but how do we make sure that the least amount of packaging possible is on there?
Well, you're quite right, of course. I mean, the key issue here is getting things to us in a saleable condition, and there's a significant argument that says that waste through the packaging chain, through the distribution chain, is a much worse crime, if you like, than having a bit of extra packaging. I hear what you say, though, and one interesting point is that not very many people realise that overpackaging is, strictly speaking, illegal. You can, if you find examples of things that you think have been overpackaged, you can take that down to your trading standards office or bring that to the attention of Consumer Direct and say, look, I think I've got an overpackaged product.
I wonder how many people actually do that.
Not very many. I think probably partly because not many people know that, and also because it is, in fairness, quite difficult to do. But the European law came in 1996. I mean, we've actually got two laws that cover packaging, one of which is one that brings in an obligation to the packaging producers to contribute towards recycling and recycling strategies and recycling costs. And the other one is an obligation, what's called the essential regulations, which tells people that they must use minimum packaging, they must use the packaging which is appropriate and optimal for the product that's being supplied. So actually, I won't say overpackaging is a myth, because we've all fought our way into toys this Christmas, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've got a couple of examples in a minute.
Well, and there's something I think we can probably agree absolutely wholeheartedly about. You know, I too have cut my fingers trying to get into toy packaging. But if you think about probably the major usage of packaging, which is food, there's really very little over-packaging. I realise people are currently spitting the cornflakes out at the radio and screaming at me, but okay. I believe that's the case.
Well, let's hear what a couple of people think. First of all, I'm going to play you a little bit of Kay Adlington, who's our guest editor today, why she wanted to discuss this. Here's what she had to say.
I've chosen, it's a bit of a passion and a pet hate of mine, is packaging. You know, when we go around Tesco, Sainsbury's, wherever, do our weekly shopping, there's so much packaging on things.
And also, we spent some time earlier on at one recycling centre in Nottingham.
I hate the plastic you have to cut to get into it. I hate that. I just bought a new toothbrush, actually, and I had to cut it all open. But, it cuts your hands. It's evil. I don't know why they do it, actually.
Well, let's deal with that last one. The kind of packaging you get, which is, you know exactly what she means, don't you?
Exactly
that really
what she
tough
means, yes.
Plastic
yeah.
Stuff. You have to cut it, and invariably you end up getting cut yourself. Why do they need to have those things packaged like that?
There's a couple of points, really. One is, if you look at the sort of more expensive items, things like door handles from B&Q, pots of super glue, things like that, and you look at the packaging and you think, well, that's massive. There's far too much packaging on that for the product that's in there. And I'm afraid to say the main problem is that people stick them in the pockets and they nick them. So the packaging has to be big enough that it doesn't go in your pocket, and it has to be sufficiently difficult to get into that people won't just whip the thing open in the supermarket or in the shop, stick the item in their pocket and run off with it.
But surely that's a different issue, isn't it? That's down to shop security rather than the actual manufacturer's making something.
And I guess that the packaging is being used to cover up another separate issue. But in essence, when the question is, why do they package things like that? That's why they package things like that. Moving on to the other issue about the number of things that are in Tesco.
Again, supermarkets there, we're talking. I mean, everybody has bought something, whether it be from a supermarket or somewhere else, and you get it home and you think it's got a cardboard wrapper on the outside, then it's got a tray underneath it, it's got some foil over the top. Sometimes there's even more packaging than that. And you
Absolutely.
Think, why does it need it?
Why does it need it? I think I'm not an expert in every single sort of packaging, of course. I mean, and it's very easy to give you a glib response. I suppose I had to go back to the original, if you like, the fundamental purpose of packaging, which is to protect what it sells and sell what it protects. And so a lot of packaging is about proper presentation. And I'm sure I know the packaging that you're referring to is, you know, the little trays of cakes and tarts and things, which, you know, when you open them up, there's a mountain of packaging and half a dozen little cakes. The reality is that they are best presented in the opinion of the manufacturer in that way. So packaging is then serving a variety of roles. It's serving the role then of, put the positive spin on it, it's actually giving us the choice.
Okay, let's deal with this other big issue, which is if the packaging is needed, which is what you're saying a lot of the time, why isn't more of it recyclable? Food trays, for instance, in the supermarkets, and I know this because I did my own recycling challenge in 2008, where I attempted to produce absolutely no household waste. The biggest single problem I had was food that came in those black plastic trays that are not recyclable.
There you go, CPET as it's called, crystalline polyester.
Why don't they use a recyclable material?
Well, I think increasingly they do. I mean, there's an enormous amount of work has gone on in the industry over the last, particularly over the last 10 years. If you look at the figures, there's been a move from about 30% recyclables up to 60% now. So we're looking at, if you take that there's a packaging market in the UK, which will boggy your mind, I'm sure, of 10 million tonnes, 6 million of those tonnes are now recyclable. And things are moving in that direction, that we've got not only the two laws that I mentioned earlier, we've also got a thing called the court hold commitment, and that's something which has been put together by government. Government have been really good on this. In actual fact, they've been very proactive for once in their lives. And there's an organisation called RAP, Resource.
I spent ages trying to find something that sounded appropriate. Didn't
a marvellous acronym, but RAP has a commitment called the court hold commitment, which is signed up to by all the major retailers and quite a lot of the big packaging producers, or big packaging users, I should say. And they have a commitment that which they've achieved so far, which is to stop packaging growth at the end of this year. There's no packaging growth, which has increased over the last 10 years, has stopped now. And they have targets in place to reduce packaging, overall packaging, by 2010, with further targets in 2012. So there is a lot happening. The industry, it's been estimated, the industry has spent upwards of £1.5 billion on increasing recyclability and on reducing waste.
Okay, well, I wanted to hear from you on this. Nottingham 934 3434, what have you